Okay, we'll start at the of Zion. We got up to the Mishnah yesterday, so get a little head start today. The Mishnah on Tav Zion, Nidrei Onsin. So this is going to be the fourth category of Nidarim that were mentioned at the beginning of the parak that automatically fall away, that are not don't require a petach or shela. This is Nidrei Onsin, a neder made by mistake. And again, we saw this. Above, we saw this was quoted by the Gemara on Chav Dalet, that he, Nidrei Onsin, he diru chaverus yochal etzlo, his friend was madir him, that he should eat by him, v'chalahu, and then he gets sick, or his son gets sick, or the river, you know, swelled, and he's unable to cross the river to get to his friend's house, re'elu Nidrei Onsin, these are Nidrei Onsin, so either, in one of two possibilities, either because the way the Ran reads it, it's because the lava data de halki adre. This is not, he didn't, when he made the neder, this was not his intent. His intent wasn't that something, again, that we, I think when we learned it, was that an exogenous variable should change the, conditions which he set out. I mean, he made a neder because he was trying to encourage or to pressure his friend to come eat by him, not to really make his stuff asur to his friend. So his dots was really to pressure him to come, and if there's a variable that he wasn't really considering when he made the nether that comes up, that's not what he really intended with his nether. That's one possibility. Or the Rosh learns that it's ain't libo shoven. It's hard in his mouth, they're not equal. Again, this is a similar idea that if his intent is to pressure his friend to come, then his intent is not really to restrict his stuff to his friend. And therefore, when he takes the nether, his real intent is to create the pressure and not have the result be true.
The case is more complex than it seems to be. Why can't it be that he makes an end to do something and then he's prevented by these following factors? Why isn't it his friends who's making that dream?
Okay, so the question about whether we'll have to talk about what onus, how does onus play in? I mean, when somebody does something and then they have an onus, is that a factor or not? And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss.
The point is that if the friend is making the nether on himself, then why do you need the factors afterwards that it wasn't fulfilled because of X, Y, and Z? Isn't it the fact that somebody's made a nether and you've objected to it or you don't want to be part of it? It's not the onus in itself. I mean, it seems to have two factors here, which are kind of forcing
the situation. Well, you're asking us what the Gemara asked earlier was, why isn't this just Nidrei Zeruzin? And earlier on, the Gemara asked, why isn't this case just a case of where you're trying to, make your friend come and eat by you, and that's called Nidrei Zeruzin. What do you need Onsin for? Nidrei Zeruzin, so there the Gemara established that the case was this unusual case, where he actually, the gentleman who was coming to eat, was the one who pressured him to make the nether. And he said, invite me over for a meal. And the guy goes, okay. He says, take a nether that you're inviting me over for a meal.
Yeah.
So it was a strange form of nether. It wasn't a nether where the inviter was making the pressure. The pressure's coming from the invitee. And that'll look exactly like the case that you're talking about, because it's the invitee who was pushing for the nether, and it's the invitee who has the onus. So it'll be the same person who's pushing for the nether, the same one who has the problems along the way. So the way the Gemara learned that on Chav Dalet learns the case, then it'll turn out to be that, like what you're suggesting. All right. How Gavra, Da'atkis Zechvata Bebedina. This person, he had either claims, it's difficult to know what the case was, either had Shtaros that entitled him to something, or he had claims. And he went to Beis Din. Says, if I don't come back within 30 days, then these claims will be what? Null and void. these claims. So either was that he was in Beis Din, and Beis Din sometimes gives you 30 days to bring all your evidence, right? I mean, they give him 30 days to bring all your evidence here, and he's saying, if I don't come back within 30 days, then even the current evidence will be worthless. Or he has shtarot, that are valid, and he says, for some reason has to leave, or he wants to come back, he says, if I don't come back within 30 days, these shtarot are no longer valid. So when it says, itnis, there was an onus. This is your case, which is that he's the one who's saying it, and now he's the one who's an onus. Right, so now he's an onus, v'lo'ata, and then he doesn't come. Amar Avuna,
unless he's forced by the court to say that.
Right, I mean that the court is saying that you have 30 days to come back, right? But he's not forced. Which is important here is that the court can tell him you have 30 days to come back. He does not have to say that if I don't come back in 30 days, everything else is null and void. I mean, that's something that he's saying in order to either bolster his position or to prove that he will be back here in 30 days. Right? He's trying to say to the court, I'm not really running away. I'm going to be back here in 30 days. If I don't come back in 30 days, all this stuff will be worthless. So the court might say to him, bring your evidence within 30 days. He's taking the initiative to say this. All right, so then...
Here's his name.
Itnis.
And I don't want to be back in 30 days, but if I'm not...
Right, exactly. Strengthening this position. Itnis v'ata. Of course, there's an ones, and it doesn't come. So Amar Avuna bottles his kutay, right? Or his kutay, that his all that we keep his word. He didn't show up in 30 days, and therefore his either his claims or his shtarot are all invalid now. Amarly Rova, so Rova ends his bag anusu, right? He's an anus. Anus Rachmana Patri, and we know the Torah says that when someone's an ones, we do not hold them culpable. So this is the parsha in Kitetze that when a woman is attacked and she's not a complicit party or she's not a participant in the attack, then she's considered an ones. And therefore, the Torah says, "L'narah tased tased davar," that the narah does not get any punishment because she was an ones, she was forced, and she was not a willing participant. So Gemara says, "Well, maybe b'chitema kaplus shiny, maybe death is different. I mean, that when it comes to killing somebody, we say ones rachmana patre. When it comes to monetary matters, we don't say ones rachmana patre, because we have by." The death sentence, right? We have a requirement on Basin, that the Basin has to always look for the best side of the schus in the, for the person who's being convicted. So to over here, since we're dealing with the death penalty, maybe the Narela Taset Davar, that we should say, that is why Yonas Rachmana Patri. Bahatsnan, then we have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Nidre Onsin, Hediro Chaveh Shiokhalat Shalva Chalahu, Oshachala Beno, Ishiko Narari Elu Nidre Onsin. So we see that ones is a factor even outside of the death penalty. Here in the case of Neder, we're using ones as a reason to allow him to get out of the Neder, to reject the Neder. So Gemara says, Ula Rovo, Mishna Mihaditznan. Now Rovo is going to run into a problem, or is it? Or something you said is the rabble. Mishna Mihaditznan. We had in the beginning, if you remember the beginning of Subos, it's the first daf in Subos. The Gemara talks about ones pagitin, right? Whether there's such a thing as ones pagitin or not ones pagitin. And the case here, we're going to bring it down in 1 second, is that if he gives a get to his wife, and the get has some condition on it, and he's unable to fulfill the condition because of an ones, does that become a real get, or is that not a real get? So does ones work with it or not? So now the Gemara wants to know, we have a Mishnah. This is your get from now. If I don't come back here within the next 12 months, then he goes on the road, umes, b'tochi bet chodesh, and he dies. So you can't come back because he's dead. Right? How is that get? It's a good get. Am I? Why should it be a good get? Aminus, itnis. Right? He is an ones. Why can't he come back? Because he's dead, and that's because it's an ones that he can't return here. And nevertheless, we say what? That it's a good get. So for Rava, so we explained Rav Huna's position. We did not explain Rav Huna's position, but Rava's position, we explained that it's ones. Whenever there's an ones, we say ones is a, it takes away culpability. We show that by the death penalty, by Narala Tassad Davar. We show it by Nidorim, because we said Nidre Onsin Hain, right? And now the Gemara wants to know, is this factor really true? Because we have Vagitin, we have Onis, and it doesn't work. So maybe it is not a global concept that Onis should work and protect you.
No, it does work to protect you.
Oh, all right, so that's the Gemara's answer. Very good. Right, but he's the one who submitted the Tznai.
Right.
Right. So the Tznai is him. He's the one who's Onis, right? So the question is, why shouldn't he be let out of his Tznai? The answer is similar to what you're saying. Well, we'll get to it in a second.
That was what he intended.
Right, exactly.
He wanted to
free his wife from Yibum, and therefore the intent originally was to get to this answer, which is exactly what you're saying, God.
Is the topic under discussion earnest on the fulfillment of the vow or earnest on the making of the vow?
It's not a condition that triggers the vow. A condition which will cause the vow to take effect, right? Right. The condition is you come to my house, and if you don't come to my house, you're going to be now restricted in everything I have. So the onus is that he doesn't show up at the house, so that triggers the neder.
Yeah.
That's the Kalos HaNeder, which we spoke about. Right, exactly. At the time that the Neder
is started.
Right, so the onus is at the time that the Kalos HaNeder takes effect, right? Exactly. Alright, so we have Rava here, so just discuss Duma, so this is just what the Dalia suggested. Alright, Duma Shiny Hadam, the E, have a Yoda, the Mace, right? Because if he had known he's gonna die, right? He has been the altar, have a Gamar, the Yoda, Gita. He wouldn't even put a condition in there, he would have just given the get straight out. Right, he just, if the whole purpose of the get, like you're suggesting, the dowry was for her benefit, in order that she should not have to perform Yibum afterwards. So he gives her a get to protect her from Yibum, and had he known he was going to die, he would have given her the get straight up. The only reason he put a condition in the get was because he wasn't sure he was going to die. Right, so he wanted to know if he came back, he'd still have his wife. But now he's not coming back, whether it's because he died or whatever the reason is, then the get is effective. So maybe that's an exceptional case. So Maishna, what is it different than this case? It's again from the Gemara and the Ksubos in the first half. Ksubos, we have this. If I don't come back within 30 days, this will be your get. Ato, he comes on the 30th day. Upaske ma'abro, and the river has swelled and he's unable to cross over. Amar Luhu says to his wife, Chazudatai. I'm here. As she walks off into the sunset. It's also in Gittin, but the Gemarian, we've seen it recently in the Ksubas, in the first book of Ksubas. So he says, I see I'm here. Amar Shmuel, lo shmei matzio. It's not considered as if he came. I mean, that's not enough. He needs to come. Am I? Why is that true? Baha minis anis, right? Here, he is an onis. He couldn't get across the river. That's what's preventing him from fulfilling the tnai. Why don't we say that that onis is enough to allow him, right, to get out of the get, or to dictate the get is invalid. So the Gemara says, Dilma onis de miglaya shiny. There may be an onis. Now, an onis de miglaya, the Gemara uses the term gali, which means it's aware, but it means something, it means obvious, gali, but it means shkiyah. It really means that something that's common. I mean, that onis is only considered something that would not be a consideration that you would have at the time that you make the neder. But something that's recurring or happens on a regular basis, that you have to take that into consideration in your neder, and you have to include it in your neder. The fact that you didn't is your responsibility, right, and not a problem of onus. And the fact that the river swells is something that's a regular occurrence. It's something he should have considered at the time of his neder. The fact that he didn't consider it at the time of his neder means that the onus isn't going to help him anymore, because the onus is not, I'll call it again, a variable that he should he wouldn't have considered. It's a variable that he would have considered, and therefore by the fact that he didn't consider it, is he's lost it for himself. I mean, he's caused his own problems.
That's actually one of the specific cases that our Mishnah lists of Shev Bonar.
But that must be a case where
it was less predictable.
Exactly, it has to be a case where I think somebody over here, I can't remember, one of the Rishonim says that at the time it's the time of Hafshar Tashelik in the spring when the snows are melting, where it's common that the river is going to swell, or the rain's coming and then it's going to swell. So it's something that was a regular occurrence, as opposed to our Mishnah where the Mavranar has got to be something that was unusual, that would not have been expected. Okay, so that's the... Now we just went... So you just explained Rava. We have a case, the Gemara brings down a case about a person who makes a condition in Beis Din, that he'll lose all his rights if he doesn't come back within 30 days. For some reason, he was an ones, does not return in 30 days. Rav says that his neder falls away. I mean, or his claim, not his neder, but here his statement falls apart because he was an ones, and he brings a proof from ones rechona patre by the nerlas of davar, brings a proof from our mishnah, the nidri onesin fall apart, and then we challenge him from two places. One is two places by gitin. One is that by a get, that if you say, if I don't come within 12 months, and then he dies, then it's a valid get. Why isn't that an ones? And there, the one says that there are ulterior motives, that he wants the get to be affected in this case. Therefore, the ones is not relevant. And the last case here is Shmuel's case, where we have an ones, he's unable to come, and yet the get is affected. And we see there, that's also not a real ones case, because it's something that was a regular occurrence, and a fact that he should have considered. Now, Rav Huna. What's Rav Huna's opinion? Right? Rava challenges him, says what? Rav Huna, why are you thinking like this? Ones rachmana patre. It's an ones and he should be putter. Rav Huna doesn't respond. So what is Rav Huna's position here? Why does it work? Why does Rav Huna work? So that Mer says now, Rav Huna, michtei asmachtahi. Alright, so this, what he said, or what he did, was a asmachta. And the Gemara says, asmachta, lo kanya. In general, we believe an asmachta does not work to create a kinyan. So what's an asmachta? An asmachta is where there are two possible outcomes. And a person is relying on the fact that the outcome will be favorable to him, and therefore makes a statement or does something or has something come into effect based on the factors going his way. So the classic case would be, a good thing would be like you have a lottery, right? You have something, or you're spinning a die, and he says, you know, they're betting some way that he's going to win the money. So he puts money into a pot and says that, well, if I get number 3, right, I win all the money. So why is he putting the money into the pot? Because he thinks he's going to win the money. So is he making what we call a kinyan gomor? When he hands over the money, is he really intending to give that money away? Or are he just assuming that that money's not going away and he's getting it all back?
That's one of the things that was supposed to say this, because the assumption is that the person is not expecting to lose, and therefore if someone takes the money in those circumstances, it's...
Right, so that's one of the two opinions in Gemara and Sanhedrin.
Why would Daz be expecting to win?
Okay, so that's a question. In general, you don't... Would you play if you knew you were going to lose?
You have lady luck.
You play because you think that you can triple your money, or you can lose a small amount.
Right, so you're putting the money
not
in.
Because you think you don't
okay,
play.
So that's a question about us, whether it's machlokanya or smachlokanya. That's the machlokas. Warren Tanedra brings two opinions as to why Mishachek could be a playing dice is a problem. One of them is ours, issue, which is a smachlokanya. That smachlok does not work. Whereas the other opinion in Grand Sages is that he's not asuk b'yeshuvos shel olam. It's not a profession for a good Jewish boy. I mean that he's not doing productive things that are productive in the world, and this is an unproductive. Your question comes up with things like the lottery. Today we have Rav Pius here in Israel. Pius pays for a lot of that which goes on in Israel. So they're shouting like Rav Adyo Seif and all. They had shuvos from them. Well, can you have a lottery in Israel? I mean, if asmachta's lo kanya, how can you have a lottery where people buy a lottery ticket and then the money's gone? I mean,
that's the one in
right. So there, that's exactly what Rabbi Yosef says, that the lottery here in Israel is based on what you're suggesting, which is that the odds are in such a manner that a person's buying the ticket. They're betting on this fact that maybe it's a 1 in a million chance that I might get something. They give over the dollar because it's a small amount of money. Right? Yeah, exactly. They're miyayish on that money when they hand it over and say, yeah, you know what, that money's gone. But you know what, maybe I'll win. So
the person's go to, it's not losing it to the other person. Like I said, you know, they build schools.
Yeah, but still, no gotten gains, which is, you know, that's like money laundering. Just because the money was stolen, now it's being used to build schools. But that's it. So that's the major issue about what people think. But over here again, that the over here, what did the gentleman say when he was went to Basin? He says, if I don't show up in 30 days, then all my stuff goes away. So what is his belief when he's saying that? His belief is he's going to be back in 30 days, and his intention is not to have these go away. So he's betting, in a sense, right? I mean, we'll use the term loosely, but he's betting that he'll be back, and therefore he's willing to risk much more than makes sense. Right? He would never make such a statement. If he knew he wasn't going to be back here in 30 days, he would never make a statement that if I'm not back here in 30 days, right, that these should be all mavutal. So he's being somek asnafta, right? He's being somek on the fact that he'll be back here in 30 days. So therefore, we're asking on Rav Huna. Rav Huna's position must believe that what? That asmachta is kanya, because otherwise, why would his statement have any bearing? Meaning, when he makes a statement that is premised on an assumption that he's going to win, meaning that he'll be back here in 30 days.
Why do we say same question on Rav? Why do we have to say that it's not chal because because the onus, not even bonus, you just said that there's no smachta. Forget about what happened.
A smachta lakani, right?
Yeah.
But
Rav must agree that smachta lakani. They both agree smachta lakani. The question is, does the onus take care of the problem?
Right. So we're going to see that you can get around the smachta lakani. There are ways around it. So Rav is onus, which I would say to you, if I was Rav, I'm just giving you onus works, and you don't even have to think about a smachta. Exactly.
Well, the smachta is better because then the whole thing didn't even start. Forget about it. I can't come back. I don't care if you go, didn't go, if you stay there the whole time. It's not the Lakanya, so anything you say.
Right, but what we're going to see in the Gemara coming up is that there are ways to get around the Asmachta or to straighten the Asmachta.
At least at this stage, if they're asking the question, Huna shows.
Right, they could have asked it, I agree with you. They could have asked it. The question could have been asked on Rava as well. But again, I think Rava gives you a more complete or a better answer, that is, that Ones, which will overcome both of these issues. Okay.
See, it's interesting, similar to the case of the previous mission of Shiga, right, where he says, I'm not going to eat a certain thing, whatever it is, if I eat or drink, and then he forgets about it, and he drinks. So the number's not tough, is because he didn't mean it,
but there he made a full. Asmachta Lakanya says you don't make a full kinyan. Over there he does make a full nether. I mean, his assumption is he's not going to eat, and he makes a full nether, meaning that he won't eat.
And nether is not perfect anyway.
Right, because he makes this mistake at the time of the chalus and nether. Over here, the issue is that, is he making a full kinyan? When he makes a statement, is this a full kinyan or not? Over there, it's a full nether, just that when the chalus and nether comes, we say it doesn't take effect because it's not what he has in mind. But here, is there even a kinyan to start with? Does his statement have any bearing or any meaning to start with? Right, I'll just point out that when it comes to smachta, it just happens to be... All right, you know what, we'll get this in one second. All right, so now, the Gemara says, shiny hoffin. Over here, it's different. Demetafsin zechutan. All right, so the Gemara says that he was metafsin zechutan, which overcomes the problem of smachta. Right, what is metafsin zechutan that overcomes, right, zechutan that overcomes this issue of a smachta? Now we're saying the problem is that he's not making a full kinyan, or his statement is not fully valid because he thinks he's going to be back. Now the Gemara says we have something that's going to overcome that his statement makes it as if everything's fine. As Beis Din is involved here, that the, so that, because Beis Din's involved, that already invalidates that which took place, or meaning that there's no more asmachta.
So it's Beis Din's involved, that therefore it is mine.
It's as if they've already collected, or they're actually taking control. So he's handed over control to the Beis Din, and therefore his kinyan or whatever happens with him is no longer an issue, because he is already given over his rights. To the, if you look in the round on the previous page, you have to go back to Zion Amid Aleph. So it says, Shiny Huff, it's three lines from the bottom in the round. This you guys should have. Three lines from the bottom of the round. Shiny Huff, at the Mitafsin Zechute. Right, you see this? Shekevich Yatsu Mirushuto. Since they left his possession, the Bishim Be'ad Bezin, they already placed him into the hands of Bezin and left Asmach, but there's no testing was about that, okay? So that's again the two possibilities here are.
It lacks the shortcoming of asmachta.
Asmachta means that there's no kinyan. The problem with asmachta is that we don't have a valid kinyan. No gemir stas kavana, meaning that he doesn't think that it's ever going to take effect, and therefore he doesn't make a full kinyan because he thinks that he's coming back in 30 days, whatever it is. If he's already handed it to Beis Din, the kinyan's already taken effect. The kinyan's here, and we're not talking about kinyan anymore. We're talking about what Beis Din has it. And now his 30-day condition is whether it's batel or not batel, and that no longer has to do. Kinyan is finished already. So that's one possibility. That's the Ron says, or what we said in the Rosh, that it's a admission. Basically, he's saying that these are invalid documents unless I come back and revalidate the documents. So the Kinyan or the what's needed to happen has already happened immediately, and the condition is only to revalidate or to get them back into effect. Okay, or the Ron has that little, the Rosh has this little nuance about a smock little kind. So that happens to be on my focus. If you look at the top, turn the page, just look at the Ron on the top. All right, because he says that Kavon, I'm just going to show this to you now, even though this is,
what are you having backwards?
Forwards, sorry.
Chavchet?
Yeah, top of Chavchet. I'm just going to point this out. It's going to come in the upcoming Gemara, but it's relevant. He says, the cave, it's the first line in the rhyme. The cave in the Mechila, he says it's Mechila, leis bas makta. So we just saw that in the Rosh, right? But if you're, if the Kinyan is an active Kinyan, miyad liyad.
It's Chavzayinam Biz.
Yeah, Chavzayinam Biz, the top line, I'm sorry. Chavzayinam Biz, top line. The cave in the Mechila, he. This is what we just saw in the Rosh. That if you, if it's a forgiveness, if you're talking about something where it's not handing over, making a full Kinyan, but rather retracting yourself or taking yourself away from him being mocha, that is not a smakta miyad zolka b'chaveru, because right away his friend takes possession of it. Most of the yachaveru, as soon as you give it over. That if I don't do this and this, by this time you get whatever's in your hand, take it. Meaning that take it now, and then if I don't show up, it's mocha. So leka smakta, there's only a smakta el ba'omer etain o eshalim. Smakta is only when I actively say I will give or I will pay. So that could be one way to solve the lottery issue, which is that you've already paid the money now up front, since you paid the Mary up front. But that is, what? Chayn das Rambam. That's the way Rambam is. V'ein kein das Rashi zel. But this is not the das of Rashi. Then Rashi says, that a few of the mechila, there is asmachta. Okay, so this will have, has important implications, whether asmachta has implications or application only when there is a kinyan involved, meaning that when you're going to actively give something based on the condition, or even a mechila, if I forgive, right, that maybe forgiveness is not included under asmachta because there's no kinyan involved, and if there's no kinyan, asmachta is a failure, as yesterday, a failure in Gemir Sadas. Mechila doesn't need, right, doesn't need a kinyan in that sense. Mechila is pulling back, does not need a Gemir Sadas that a full kinyan would need. So just have Machlokas, the Rambam, and Rashi. Right now, the Gemara is going to challenge. Behechi, the Mitafsin, Lavas Machta. Is that really true? When you either hand over the shtaros to Beis Din, or you are, what, you are saying that they're invalid shtaros if I don't show up, that's not a smachta. That's not. So we had this case again. We had this case together. In Ksubos, it was mentioned again in Ksubos. Misha paro mixas chobo, person who paid off part of his loan, right? Then the ishlish shtaro, and then he hands his shtaro over to a third party. Bamar, if I don't pay the second half of this loan back within 30 days, tenlo shtaro, he's given back the original document. So now he gives mabalonatan, he came, the 30 days are up, and now what do you do? So what's going to happen if he hands the shtaro back to the creditor? Okay, he's going to be able to collect again the full amount. So is it? That's a classic case. Why? Because he assumes he's going to be able to pay the other half in 30 days. And when he doesn't pay the other half in 30 days, he's going to then end up, he said, I'll owe you everything. So again, that he doesn't really think he's not going to pay in 30 days, because why would he do such a thing that he would want to pay 1.5 times when he needs to pay to get the credit back? No, there is no star. Is it part of it? He hands over the star, the original star, back.
1.5.
Why does he have the star?
No, he handed it to a third party. They handed the star to a third party because he was paying.
He didn't hand over the star. It would be the creditor that has
it. Right, or technically, maybe the debtor got it back because he paid half, and then he hands it to another guy to show him. Right, there's a third party involved here that escrows the star until things are validated. All right, so we can get involved with the Gemara there. It talks about whether the Shibud is Mahutal. Like, there are a lot of things that we discussed when we actually learned the case, but that aren't relevant to our case here. Right now, what happens if the cut? Yeah, because my lot's on Rabbi Yosef Meir Yitain. This is, that was the condition he made. Give it over to him. Rabbi Yosef Meir Lo Yitain. Rabbi Yosef says, don't give. I'm not going to ever rub. I'm a rub. Ain't no local Rabbi Yosef. The local's not Rabbi Yosef. Dom Rasmach to Kanyo. Because he believes that Smach is Kanyo, and the local is not like that. So why in our case, too? Why isn't our case exactly like this? He's either, like the Gemara, it's much more obvious. He's handing over Staros to Beis Din. Over here, he's handing over Staros to the third party. And the condition's not fulfilled, then it drops back and we say that's still considered a smachta. So why don't we say in our case here, this is also still considered a smachta. When he hands over the Staros to Beis Din, that shouldn't be valid. It shouldn't be valid here. So, or, I mean, according to the, again, according to the Rosh, you have to learn the same thing, that he says that this is a, my, whatever, silver, everything's invalid in this case, unless I hand it over. So now, what's the case? Our case is different. Amar levatlin zichute. So that our zechus should be batel. So this is more. This is similar to the rush. I read this rush for this piece over here, but this is what the rush is saying over here. That what? That it, when I say levatlin zechute is that if I've invalidated the contracts right away. I mean, there isn't, which is what we read in the rush above, and over here I think the Ron will say the same thing, which is that when I already, we're not talking about a kinyan over here, we're talking about invalidation. And again, invalidation does not have the aspect of kinyan in it. If it doesn't have a kinyan, then you can't talk about asmakta. Right? Now the Gemara concludes, the hilkosa, asmakta kanya, asmakta does work. But who, the loanis. Smakta works, but that's when there is no onus, right? So again, that's a robot, right? Over here, possibly. Oh, the kano minei Beis Din Choshev. And that only works if he is kano from, if he has a kinyan from him in a Beis Din Choshev. Oh, so now, what's the Gemara saying here in the conclusion? So the Gemara's conclusion is what? Smakta's kanya, but they put a place conditions in when smakta's kanya. Number one, no onus.
Smakta's not inherently null and void.
Right. But what are the conditions to make it work? So now the question, one is that he's not an onus, okay? That's one I'm given. Number two is it has to be a kinyan and a Beis Din Choshev. So what is that condition of a kinyan and a Beis Din Choshev? All right, so first of all, the Rambam, like in other places, says that Beis Din Choshev is a Beis Din Samuch. Right? Other Rishonim, others disagree. That just, I mean, it has to be a Beis Din that has power to collect. Now, why is being in a Beis Din Choshev meaningful? Right, so now that's what the Rishonim talk about here, that Beis Din Choshev changes. What we say the problem with the smachta is, the problem with the smachta is that you don't have Gemira Sadas, that you don't have a full Gemira Sadas that you're giving over that which is there. But what the Beis Din Choshev might do is overcome the problem of Gemira Sadas, because he's in a Beis Din Choshev, the person is assuming that the Beis Din can affect what he's saying, and therefore when he gives it over fully, right, without any, let's call it, quote-unquote, regrets. I mean, he's assuming that it's really going to happen and it's really going to work, and that's what makes it, the Beis Din Choshev, important over here. Now, the only question about is whether you need the word me'akshav. Right, for the kinyan to be chal, generally we say that a kinyan is chal when you say me'akshav, from now. So it just does me'akshav. Do you need me'akshav over here in order for the kinyan to be valid? I mean, because like we had this in Kesubas also. If you say that we'll make this kinyan in 30 days from now and the parah is not out in the middle of the swamp, it doesn't work because at the time of the chal's kinyan, he doesn't own it. It's in the middle of nowhere, right? It's not around. So now, again, he's not here. When the kinyan's going to be affected, right, sitting in Beis Din, he's nowhere near to make the kinyan. At that point in time, does he really feel that way? So do we need the kinyan to be affected at the moment he gets it over to Beis Din? Is say me'akshav or not? Does Beis Din Choshev overcome the problem of me'akshav? That actually happens to be a machlokas. The reading of Menotam here, it also happens to be the Ram brings it down also machlokas.
You're saying, you're asking if the Gemara's stipulation of here is affected even if he doesn't say me'akshav.
Right. But I mean, because the Gemara in other places says you need me'akshav. The question is this Beis Din Choshev enough to overcome?
It's not connected to the, right, the transaction.
Right. So here, if you look in the Tosfos, Tosfos, again, I don't know if you have your Tosfos. Let me see your Tosfos. Can I just see your Tosfos layout so I can find you the place? Here, yeah, your Tosfos is laid out differently.
Perfect.
All right, let's just see. We can find it for you. Tosfos, Baba Metzia Daf, Samach and Vov. Of course, you guys do this all differently. Where is this? What are these little notes here? Oh, Daf, Sashit, Fan. Here it is. Okay, here. For you guys, it's across from...
Oh, I see.
Okay.
See? Have it further away down.
Yeah. Where it says Baba Metzia Daf Samach Vov. On the sides there, on the right side, on the thin area, but halfway down in the thin area. For you, you'll see it's going to be on the in the thin part, three lines from the bottom, and the thin part of the toast was Mihu Omeri. See that Baba Metzia Daf Samach Vov? You got it?
Okay.
All right. So it says, Mi'omeri. So you see this? Mi'omeri. Da'akorcha'akamayri. In our case here, da'amar mi'akshav. That he had to say, mi'akshav. Da'amar, the kanuminei. Because they said they take a kinyan him. Bislam kinyan besudar. And the regs, most kinyanim are with the sudar. But kinyan sudar, lo mi'akshav, enomoyil klum. And a kinyan mi'akshav, without that, it doesn't do anything. I mean, you need akshav, because when you, otherwise, if the kinyan doesn't take effect immediately, later on, the handkerchief's gone. I mean, that there's nothing to affect the kinyan later on. The kinyan must be an immediate kinyan. He has to say, mi'akshav. The other suit of the maro, because the handkerchief will go back to its owner, perish. It's called a kinyan in mo'akun. Right? Because if the kinyan will happen in a further time, after 30 days, in kinyan, a kinyan, ad akad lamed yom. Then the kinyan is not until 30 days, but far hutra suit of the maro, and then the handkerchief is no longer around. In kinyan, a korchuk mairi, the amar mi'akshav. Must be that he said me'akshav, ba'filu hochi kamar, da'akav abeisin choshev konumine. So you need both factors. That's what they were saying. You need me'akshav to have the kinyan be effective today, and you need beisin choshev to have the gemir sadas. So Rebbe says you need two things. If you skip down a little bit, in mine it's down two lines, and it goes to Omer Rabbeinu Tam. It's probably a drop down for you guys in there. It says Omer Rabbeinu Tam. You found it? It's a little bit further on, a couple lines down. It says Omer Rabbeinu.
Second part.
All right, the second one. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam. So he says, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Let me just see this. Let me see if we can see his opinion for a second. Right here. Rabbeinu Tam, Shekach Na'ogu, the Sof Kol B'nei Ha'ir B'Shat Shiduchin. When they make the Shiduchin, they get the whole city together. Ha'inu, Ki'echit L'Hab B'Ezin Choshu. In order to have a Bezin Choshu present, V'Loyeh Aravon Asmachto. So here, they're making a deal, right? They have shidduchim here, they're making a deal, and their shidduchim were really more about monetary issues. Okay, that they were, the father says, I'll give this and this, of the bride, and the father of the husband says, I'll give this and this, right? And then there is no, is there an effective kinyan here? This is possibly an asmachta of sorts, or there's no, I mean, that, who's going to guarantee it? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, we can simulate a Bezin Choshu by bringing the whole city there. And therefore, a person, when he says that, is going to have gemir sadas, because all the people are standing around, and he's not going to want to look like he's backing out. So, first of all, many times they have shidduchim, only relatives are there. Tonight, right? There's no condition over here. Oh, by the case of shidduchim, there's no, if this happens, then such and such. They're giving it over now with a full kinyan. Meaning, as opposed to in our cases over here, where if I don't come back in 30 days, there's some sort of conditions that are the problem for the kinyan, because he still thinks that there's something else going to happen. Everybody needs to miss, that's overcome that, we need based on the question. Over here, there's no condition. Shidduchim are taking place now, and the kinyan is immediate. So why do you need a based on the question? Right, so then he says, because of that, here, the hachi hu the kani shop here, below me akshav. So why does it work here then? Why don't you need an akshav, and why don't you need a kinyan based on the question by shidduchim, according to the read? The fisherman's bayish biyoter, listen to this, he'll be so embarrassed, Misha Chosaber, if he reverses his track over here, Lochoshev Asmach the Cloud. The law of Kuzmahu, Mashimat Matneimo, it's not an exaggeration, Beravoni, Yaksabo, Deme Boshtahu. If he goes back, the payment is the embarrassment, the payment for the embarrassment. This is what the recess? He says, if you get together, you make a deal like this in front of, you know, of Shiduchin, that should be the Asmachta, because there's no Kinyan, there's no Meakshav, there's no Basin, so where's the Kinyan? He says, the Kinyan is that because you'll be so embarrassed, or the other person will be so embarrassed if you back out, then that creates the Gemir Sadas to have the, be effective here, the Kinyanim to be effective, or have the deal be effective, and if you back out and you pay, it's not a smachta, you're paying for the money for his embarrassment, that you're backing out of the deal. So it's not a payment for the what you pledged, it's a payment because you caused him such embarrassment, and therefore you're repaying him that embarrassment. How do we value what the embarrassment is? That's the amount of money that you pledged to give at that time. It's a very interesting read, Rabbeinu Tam, about, you know, Ma'akshav and Kinyanim. And the last thing I'll point out is that there is also a machlokas, whether you need, again, the Rebbe said, do you need Ma'akshav or not? So again, the Rebbe brings down such a machlokas, whether Asmachta has you need Me'akshav, or Me'akshav can work without Beisin, and Beisin can work without Me'akshav. And if you say Me'akshav and the Kenyan's called Me'akshav, then maybe you get rid of the Asmachta issue because the Kenyan's called already beforehand, and maybe that's enough to overcome it. Or, and maybe Beisin Choshev by itself is enough to overcome the Asmachta, or do you need both to overcome the problem of Asmachta? And that's, Ron brings down, I won't go through, but if you want to read, the Ron has, brings down the Machlokes to be shown him with regards to this. All right, just to conclude, the Ron says, the Nimtzo, if you look down in the Ron, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines on the bottom of the Ron, the Nimtzo. Nimtzo Aksha, plus Gan Shel Devarim. What's the Psak Halacha here? Right? The Hoy, got the Ikam Aksha, whatever he says, Aksha, let's be Mishum Asmachta. All right, that's one. So Ron believes if you say Me'akshav, there is no Asmachta, that's enough by itself. Ubi Matpis Schuta, if he's Matpis is Schus, meaning that he, that was the first solution we give, Ikanumi Nebe Beisin Mahani. If he has a Kenyan in front of Beisin, that will work. When we ask of the Hude Nami Hani Bay, below Nero Lee Kane, he says that I don't think that's true. So he says at the end, in the end, the Iran says that Me'aksha by itself, it won't work, but in Basin you will not need Me'aksha. Right, because it's four lines from the bottom of the round. It's two words from the end, four lines from the bottom of the round. He says the whole heicha that he based in the chashuv looks like me'akshav. The anan sadeh the lamachayek bebeitin. He doesn't joke around and based it. All right, so that's just I'm just giving you some flavor here. So in the end, the round says me'akshav by itself won't work, but based in the chashuv by itself will work. All right, so these are ways to get overcome the asmachta issue. As I said before, the problem with asmachta is the gemir sadas in the kinyan, and we have to find ways to get around this gemir sadas. So the Rebbe came up with Ravina town comes up with a way to get over a smachta with some problems of kinyanim by saying the whole town comes that becomes like a base of chashuv. The Rebbe says no, busha is enough to create the gemir sadas to overcome right a smachta. There are those who show that believe me'akshav would be sufficient to overcome the problem because the kinyan is effective today and therefore the smachta does not impact on the kinyan. The Rebbe rejects that. There are others, and the last one is that base in chashuv. Then whether you need base in chashuv and akshav or just base in chashuv is enough to have the gemir sadas to overcome the problem of Asmachta.
What about the answer? Two more things about the Zchusa. Is that still stand on its own that that's not even considered Asmachta?
Right, so that was the Machlokes we saw between the Rashi and the Rambam, right? Whether Asmachta has application by Bechila.
So
right, the Rambam believes there's no such thing as Asmachta by Bittul. That would seem to be the conclusion of the Gemara here. Rashi and Perkazov and Bo Messiah says that Bechila still has a problem with Asmachta. So then you'd have a problem with Asmachta based on that. That would be depending on whether you believe it's Asmachta and Mechila or not.
Yeah, I mean, because Gemara makes it sound like it's Mechila. It's a. Gemara makes it sound like it's something to do with Asmachta, another hand makes it sound like it's.
Right, it sounds like one point that Mechila is outside the realm of Asmachta.
It makes it sound like it's going for the whole path of Asmachta, but now we say, no, it's different because here it's
Mechila.
Right, so it's not. Or maybe it means it's totally different then.
Right. Right, so my post we saw at the beginning of the Ron on the disamulet between Rashi and the Rambam in the conclusion. Alright, let's go quick. We just have the new Mishnah. Spend time on it tomorrow. But here, Nodrin, the Haragin, or the Harmim, or the Malkusin. You can take a neder to Haragim. Haragim are they're killer robbers. Alright, they're people who rob and they'll kill you if they don't get their money. And the Ron even says they're Jews. Yisrael, they're Jews here. Alright, the Haramim are people just plain robbers. They don't kill. And Mochsin are tax collectors. Right? So he truma. So he takes a net, they show up to rob him, and he takes a net that this stuff is truma. I'll be shame on truma, even though it's not truma. Right? Change your base of milk, please go on to the king. I'll be shame on base of milk. Alright, so each of these cases, he can take such a nether, and the nether does not take effect. Meaning, the nether is not valid, because he's only taking the nether to protect his stuff. And I always point out from this Mishnah, this is one of the proofs, one of these interesting Mishnahs, so where you have people who are, I mean, the Rambam says they're Jews, and they're killers, right? Yet they're afraid to take Truma. If you tell them it's Truma, they won't take it, right? It's not, like if it's Kodesh, all of a sudden you take a nether, it's Kodesh, they'll leave it behind. That they won't do. But this idea that people were makbid on Tavarim Shibin Adam Lamakom, it comes to Kedusha, that they're Chareda Dvar Hashem. But when it comes to Ben Adam Lachavera, that they rob, they kill, that they have no problem with. The classification that is in Yom HaRei with Kohanim, when they were racing up the ramp to go to be the first by the carbon, and he pushes his friend. And here they are going to the service of Hashem, Ben Adam Lamakom, and in the process of Ben Adam Lamakom, then Ben Adam Lachavera falls away. Again, this emphasis on you know, my personal religious growth is to do with me and Hashem, and that other people are, right, other people are not considerations in my avodas Hashem, or Ben Adam Haver is not a consideration. Right. So that's, I think this Mishnah to me is like one of those important things. The Ran, or others point out here, I don't know if it's Ran or the Rosh, I can't remember, point out that they wouldn't steal Truma because Truma is cheap. All right, Truma is easy to buy because it's cheap on only one of it. It's cheap on the market, so it's not valuable for them to steal. So they wouldn't steal it. I don't know. When was the last time a robber worried about, you know, I mean, they're going to take it. They just take whatever's there. But anyway, that's one possibility to get around this problem is saying that the Truma is cheap and it's not worth their time to steal Truma.
Very good.
You can make a neder, but not a shvua to say such a thing. You can even do a shvua. Don't volunteer to make the neder. I mean, if they ask you to make a neder that it's Truma, you can make it, but don't volunteer. Now you say, look, this is Truma, man. You don't want to touch this. I'll take a nether, this is Truma. Right, Bishabi, I mean, Mashuma Zero. Don't let you make a nether about what they're asking you about. It's not other stuff. You don't say, I mean, they say, look, the, you know, the food and the stereo and the TV, they all belong to the, you know, they all belong to the king, right? You just, if you ask about the food, you speak about the food. He says, I mean, Mashuma Zero. You can do anything. Kate said, he says, Sam Konim Ishti Nenisli. Amar Konim Ishti Ubini Nenisli. Right? So he says, say, the robber says to him, say, my wife will be restricted. And anyhow, no, right? If these are not truma, and he says, you know what? Not only will my wife be usher, my children will be usher also. So now, then I'm leaving. Bishamay v'shikta mutar, but not basarim. Bishamay v'shikta tell that neder shukta, you know, hutar mitzasa is not hutar mitzvalo. Says that his wife is okay, but his children are not. Whereas they say, amrei melu melu mutarim. They're both mutar. Okay, tomorrow we'll deal with the tax evasion tax issues, and that's one of the big sources from this gemara.